Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
I was going to handle a couple chapters this evening, but I got into chapter 34, this story that I don't know if I've ever spent much time on it. And I've gone through it, and probably in the past when I've taught in Genesis, I just probably looped together a couple chapters and probably skimmed over this chapter about Dinah. And it's almost like midst of everything that's going on, God threw this chapter in. And why did he throw it in here? This is a thing that I've been looking at. And there's a lot of things to learn, obviously, from this woman. I've entitled the message, The Dinah Principle. There's a principle. There's many principles here, but there's one that had really spoken to me this week and last week, and as I've been sitting on the message here, thinking about the Dinah Principle. Every day that we live on this earth, I personally believe, at least in my life, and I would imagine your lives too, that we will be confronted, we will be challenged with the Dinah principle. It's a principle that is there before us. It's a principle that we have to understand. It's a principle that we have to walk in, and it's a principle that we have to walk through. And God promises to give us victory. So when we close our message, we're going to look at some scriptures that allude to the fact that what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us. But it's an interesting story. It truly is. So let's just start right now, beginning in verse 1. And let's look at, we'll kind of read through it with a little bit of commentary. And then we'll come back and look at the what I have entitled the Dinah principle. It says, "Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land." Underline that if you got a pencil, and if you do that, underline see. See the daughters of the land. "And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country." Now notice the position that he held. He was a prince. He was a chief over a family. He's not necessarily, this is more than likely not a gigantic kingdom by any means. And if you're familiar, as you go through the Old Testament, and you see there were numerous kings within just Israel itself. So we don't know the size of it, but we do know that it was bigger, we believe, than the family of Israel, of Jacob at this point. And so the prince of the country, when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the country, now this is speaking of Shechem, saw her. Now the word there literally means laid his eyes upon her, laid his eyes upon her. Now I imagine men, you could come up and give a testimony, could you not? And remember that moment that you looked and saw your wife. How many can say yes? You better raise your hand. I can remember that, you know, and I can remember being at that before we knew the Lord at this dance, kind of a nightclub, and I saw Vi get up. I was on one side with Bill Costello, and there was a dance floor there, and I saw Vi get up, put her coat on, and I wasn't really that forward and you know, going to just go introduce myself in that way. But I saw her get up and I could tell that she was leaving. And I set my eyes upon her. I saw her and I wanted to meet her. And so she was going this way, I was going this way, you know, and I was working my way through the crowd. And she got to the front of the door and I didn't know if I was going to be able to catch up, but she stopped, she turned around. And we talked about this later. She just felt she was supposed to meet somebody. I was the one. And I'm so glad. She stopped and turned around, and I introduced myself to her. I stumbled over my words and asked her, "Where are you going?" And she said, "Well, we're going over to the Green Onion." That was another kind of nightclub that we were going there. It was before the Lord, but I remember setting my eyes upon her. It's a very strong word. And this man, Shechem, set his eyes upon something that didn't belong to him. And we'll see that as it goes on, he took her. Actually, a better translation would be, he seized her. He set his eyes upon her, then he took the next step, and he actually seized her. Something that didn't belong to him. He went and passed over a point that he shouldn't have gone to. And then, notice it says, and lay with her. Literally, the word would be ravished or raped her. And that's what he did. And violated her. In other words, disgraced her. And so that verse is it's a sad picture. This guy had the potential, he was a ruler. He saw her, he took her, he laid with her, and he violated her. Now, scripture in other places shows where people, after they did what this man had done, rejected the person that they had violated. This guy, beginning in verse 3, notice his soul was strongly attracted to Dinah. In other words, again, deeply in love, very passionate. He really fell in love with this girl, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. In other words, he spoke loving words. After he did what he did, he sought to win her affection after that. He didn't discard her. So Shechem there in verse 4 spoke to his father Hamor, saying, get this young woman as a wife. In other words, get me this young woman as a wife. So it was a command. It was, dad, this is what I want more than anything else. And when a dad hears that, normally we go about and let's see if we can make it happen in that way. So that's what happened beginning in verse 5. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with him and with his livestock in the field. So Jacob held his peace until they came. Now, how did Jacob hear about this? Was it because you're going to see them right there with him in a moment? Maybe that was it, or was it possible there was another place? We don't know exactly how he heard about this situation, but I imagine it broke his heart. At this point, it appears that this was his only daughter. Daughters are special, are they not, men? They truly are. Somebody touch my daughter, I'm just going to go wring their neck, I think. Find the closest cop or something. I don't know. Whatever it would be. You're going to come and you're going to defend. You're going to defend any of your children. You're going to go. But if somebody touches your daughter, that's a hard thing to get over. So he's doing this. And so the sons, as it says, were in the field. And then verse 6, it says, then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. So it appears that Jacob already knew somehow, we don't know. But then Hamor, the father, going to speak to the father, went out to Jacob to speak with him. In verse 7, the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it. So the word had gone out. They heard about this. They came in. And notice, and the men were grieved and very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. Not a good thing, correct? You guys have read this story. We have a bad situation here. And how will they deal with it? How do we deal with the bad situations that come into our life? Because if we live on this earth, more than likely, bad situations will come into our life. I was listening to Sierra again, and I didn't realize Paul's lung collapsed 3 times. I heard once, but I had never heard 3 times. The different things. Trouble will come into our lives. This is deep trouble, obviously, for this family, this should not have happened. Disgrace came in to their family at this point. And so then we see verse 8, it says, but Hamor spoke with them saying, let's go back to verse 7. And the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved and very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. But Hamor spoke with them saying, the soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife. So he's coming, being respectful, one might say, maybe with the expectation that this is a possibility. And then he goes on in verse 9, and he says, and make marriages with us. Give your daughters to us and take our daughters to yourselves. Now, on the surface, this may seem right, but obviously we know that it's far from right. The Canaanites, these are the Canaanites, and they would just absorb the Jacob and his family, and they would take it over, and you'll see in a moment the real motives of their heart to, also in the midst of this. And so they wanted to just say, okay, let's marriage, let's do all of that. Now, we know, according to Scripture, we know when Abraham came out of the land to the north, God said, separate yourself. And so that message had been given all the way through. You are to be a distinct people. You're to be separated. You're not to mix in any way with the people of the world. But yet, here's the world coming to the into this situation. It's a very challenging situation. And so you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be for you, verse 10. Dwell and trade in it, and acquire possessions for yourselves in it. So they open arms, welcome. Whatever you want, we'll give it to you at this point. This is the world. This is the world. Would they stay separate? It's a very important time for Jacob. Now, the boys go about it in a wrong way, as we know. And Jacob maybe should have stood up and said, listen, guys, okay, we're not going to do such and such and such and such, as we'll see they'll do here. But that, still, it was a testing time for Jacob. In verse 12, it says, verse 11, then Shechem said to her father and brothers, let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give you. Whatever dowry you want, how much it is, you know, big, giant, whatever it is, I want to be with this woman, and I will give you whatever you want. But, verse 13, the sons, or verse 12, ask me ever so much dowry and gift, and I will give according to what you say to me. But give me the young woman as a wife. But the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, and spoke deceitfully. In other words, they're going to lay a trap for him. Everybody's read the story, right? You know, we know the trap that's going to be laid right here, but they're going to lay a trap. They're being deceitful. You know, two wrongs don't make a right, correct? And so they're going about it the wrong way because he has defiled Dinah, their sister. Then verse 14, they said to them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a reproach to us. And so the issue of circumcision comes in, and one might think this is a way to make it right, but it's really not a way to make it right. But they're going to use this in a deceitful way to scheme and to conquer. Verse 15, on this condition, we will consent to you. This is the brother saying to Shechem and his dad. If you will become as we are, if you'll become one of us, if every male of you is circumcised, then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. Obviously, this would not be according to the Lord because he wanted the nation to be separate. That's what he had put in place. That's what he had established all the way through. But if you will not heed us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and be gone. So the challenge went out to them. Choices made. And then in verse 18, their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. So the young man did not delay. I mean, he was in love with this girl to do the same thing, to do the thing. Because he delighted in Jacob's daughter. He was more honorable than all the household of his father. Now, the word here isn't saying that he was an honorable man. It was saying that he had a position. He was next in line. He would be, as I said, the chief. Once Hamor died, he would be there. He had a high position. So it tells us that he could give almost anything that they had in this situation. So Hamor and Shechem there in verse 20, his son came to the gate of their city. That's where all the bargaining went. And they went to the elders and they went to everybody because they needed them to be on their side. And spoke with the men of their city saying, these men are at peace with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade in it. For indeed, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us as wives, and let us give them our daughters. So these guys are, okay, this sounds like a good deal, man. We're going to go this way. 22, only on this condition. Uh-oh. Real testing condition here. It really was. Only in this condition will the men consent to dwell with us to be one people. They want to be one people. How does that take place? If every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised. So that's a pretty personal challenge, is it not? It truly is. And so we know what the sons are doing. Will not their livestock, notice now, they try to reach out through greed, through covetousness to motivate them. Will not their livestock, their property, and every animal of theirs be ours? Only let us consent to them, and they will dwell with us. You know, the world is a very enticing thing, is it not? You know, it figures out, the enemy figures out very quickly what is our weakness. He really does. Anybody notice that? He knows our weakness, and that's where he'll attack us. And he'll use the word or world. He'll use different things to come our way. And daily. Now, as we go on in our walks with the Lord, you know, we cast down those strongholds that we may have, you know, and we bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of the Lord. And he gives us victory in certain areas. But it sure does seem like there's other areas very quickly that arise. And that's true. A lot of times we feel that we have conquered a certain area, then we go down the road a little bit, and all of a sudden there's that area again. I thought we had victory. Well, I kind of learned that we did have victory, but it's like kind of the layers of the onion. You know, one's taken off, there's another layer there in that same area. It's a constant walk with the Lord, being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. It really is. But that world is there. The principle of Dinah is always there in our lives. It's attacking us. It's offering us all kinds of things. It'll offer exactly what we want. How often I have seen young people, precious young people, that they're going along strong in the Lord. I've seen it in the Bible college students. I've seen it in life. I've seen it in the youth group. I've seen it in young adults. I've seen it in older adults too. Going along, but they're going along, and so much potential is there. And all of a sudden, something comes out of nowhere. And the enemy knows their weakness and how to entice. He truly does. It's the principle of Dinah, the Dinah principle there. That's what's going on here. Will not their livestock, their property, and every animal of theirs be ours? This is a great deal. Only let us consent to them, and they will dwell with us. And verse 24, all, notice, who went out of the gate of his city, heeded Hamor and Shechem his son. Every male was circumcised. Notice it says all who went out of the gate of his city. They're in a bad situation right now. We know that. Verse 25. Now it came to pass on the third day when they were in pain that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. Is that justice served? No, it's not justice served. They took what might be justice. They took justice into their own hands and went the wrong way and perverted. God could have dealt with these people. He could have sent a plague among them. He could have done so many different ways, dealt with them and brought them face to face with their sin. But they decided to take it into their own hands. We must learn the Dinah principle. Because when we get in this situation, this principles at play in our lives, often what we'll do is we'll try to get ourselves out of it by going a certain way, try to do things our own way. Remember in the past we talked about the camps that Jacob set up? He was doing it his own way, trying to bring victory and trying to protect in ways. And we try to do that. Obviously, it's not going to work here. And they killed Hamor, and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword. Well, I forgot to say, Dinah's brothers each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males, and they killed Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob, verse 27, came upon the slain and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. I mean, one wrong isn't corrected by another wrong, you know? And they did what they did, but they went further. Notice in verse 28, it says they took sheep and oxen and their donkeys, what was in the city and what was in the field. They took everything that was there. Look at verse 29. And all, notice how many times all is mentioned. And all their wealth, all means all, took everything that was there. And all their little ones, all their children, and their wives. In other words, and they took them captive. They became their slaves, and they plundered even all that was in the houses. That's not God. That isn't the way God would have it taken care of. And then verse 30, Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I. True, that was the potential at this point. They had crossed over a line. Yeah, this was not a good situation. Obviously, it wasn't a good situation. But they took, again, justice into their own hands. They came against them, as we see in the scripture, and they tried to establish what was right in their own eyes. And then verse 31, it says, and then they said, should he treat our sister like a harlot? They're speaking back to their dad. And their dad's trying to reprove them and correct them. One might wonder, Jacob, where were you in the midst of this situation? Did this go on outside of your knowledge in some way? Possibly. We don't know. But the Dinah principle. The Dinah principle is an interesting thing we see. In verse 1, let's go back to verse 1 again. Some see verse 1 as Dinah went out with an innocent heart to see how the young women of the land live. That's a possibility. She could have gone out with an innocent heart, but there's still a danger. Even with an innocent heart, she had been raised differently, and she was to protect herself. I don't think she should have gone out by herself into the world. There's a lesson there. The Dinah principle has to do with a person and the world and how this person interacted with the world, as we see here. Others see this as Dinah was in some way drawn to the women of the world and went out with an attitude to learn of and to join in with the activities of these women. Personally, that's how I land, because in the Berkeley Bible, for instance, translates this as to present herself among. She presented herself among, it appears, these people. She saw the world. She wanted to know something. It appears that she wasn't satisfied where she was. Lesson be learned for us. We must learn to be content. We must learn to be satisfied, because the world will come at us, will it not, and offer us this and offer us that and say, this is the way you do it and this is how you take care of it, and injustice comes your way and then you respond this way and all that. The world is really there. It's there to trick us. It seems sometimes, I have found, that seems so right. This seems right to do it this way. And times I've got burnt because it just seems so right. And then afterward, I realized, no, that isn't the way God would have done it. And, you know, I'm not condemned. I'm not beat up. I try to learn from that. But if I realize that if I would have just prayed for it over it a little bit more and just waited upon him, because if I acknowledge what was in my heart, I realized there truly wasn't peace there. Just didn't seem right in some way. Some different way. And we have to be careful. She, in a sense, a real sense, presented herself to this situation. Either way, because of her curiosity, it appears she positioned herself in a place that she should not have been. A lesson for us to learn from the Dinah principle. Don't place ourselves in positions that we should not be in. It's very important. That seems simple, but it's true. Go with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. You guys know this psalm. I thought of that as I was thinking about this Dinah principle. Scripture warns us that there will be consequences if we get involved with the world as Dinah did. And Scripture warns us about it. Don't you love this psalm? Verse 1, Psalm 1. Blessed, how happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, Dinah, the Dinah principle is that she left where she was protected. And she went from that place into the world, and she was very vulnerable. And here the psalm tells us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. She, it appears, was seeking out that counsel. What's the world like? What's it taste like? Not satisfied where she was at this point. What's out there? How do the women of the world live? It's a danger. We have to be very, very careful for men too. And so we know we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It goes on, nor stand in the path of sinners. You know, we can walk, but as soon as we stop, then we are an easier target for the world. You know, we walk, we're moving along, we're going through, we're passing by, we're just taking care of this. But then we stand, we stop, is what happened in the path of sinners. That's what I believe that Dinah did. Then it says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, took up residence in a sense. She came to that. And I believe that we have to be careful, again, that we keep walking in the midst of this world. Scripture says, Jesus said that we are in this world, but not of this world. And often where we get in danger is when we cross over and we begin to take on the attributes, the characteristics, just even a little bit about the world. Anybody ever done that? I have. You know, I think we all have at times. So no guilt, no condemnation, you know, that can happen to us. But this is a warning. I was just thinking, okay, I love this story. In verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. There's safety. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Wow, that is amazing to see. I love Sierra. I'm going to embarrass her. But I love her heart. I can see the training from her mom and her dad. She's in the Bible college there, and I'm not trying to puff her up in any way, but I just love how she loves the Word of God, you know? That's going to keep her safe, right? As a young lady, she's not going to go the wrong path because the Word of God there. It's going to be challenging. Challenges have definitely been there for her and for us, even when we're in the Word of God. So do we delight in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night? He shall, you know, verse 3, and I love this, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen? I love that part there. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's a promise. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, just to the right a little bit. We see this truth amplified through Solomon. Verse 10, Solomon says, hear, my son, and receive my sayings. The years of your life will be many, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. If we follow the Dinah principle, we won't have this blessing that is here. We'll be attracted to the world. We'll walk in the world. We'll turn to the world. We'll take up residence in the world. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Take a hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path. Here it is again. Dinah entered that path. Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. It's the truth and the reality. For they, verse 17, eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, here's the opposite, the contrast, is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, verse 20, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Yesterday morning, I found out something that I heard, and I go, really? Really? Boy, I am so unspiritual. I really am. Adrian, do I have permission to tell on you? No choice, huh? Huh? What do you say now? Adrian had heard that when you study the Word of God, Chuck Smith read it 20 times before he taught it. Well, Adrian first started out to read the Word of God 100 times. Read the 100 times. Casey's looking at him like, really? I didn't know that. Okay, I know. In that way. So he started out to read. For instance, he's going to teach Romans chapter 1. And so he's going to read Romans 100 times. I thought, whoa, that's a pretty good thing to do. It really is. I don't want to take your blessing. So then I thought, okay, that's good enough. You know, I feel bad enough now. I feel unspiritual at this point. You know, 100 times, you know, I don't read it 100 times before I teach it. I should. So then he goes that God showed him that he is to read it 1,000 times. I got it correct? I know you're halfway there. Don't take my story away. So he's halfway there. He's read Romans chapter 1 450 times. And he's found as he's read it so much that it caused him to memorize it. You know? Didn't even set out to memorize it, but he's got it memorized. And I thought, wow, okay. He should be teaching here, not me, tonight, okay, in that sense. And I thought, neat. I don't want to rob your blessing, but keep doing it. Keep doing it. What a great blessing. You know, my son, verse 20, give attention to my words. That's what Adrian is doing. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Straight ahead. See, Dinah didn't do that. And we, with the Dinah principle, can fall into a place of danger. It says, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. You know, study it. And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Wow. Praise the Lord for that. Go to Galatians chapter 5, please. Contrast, again. We've seen the contrast in Psalm 1. We see the contrast in Genesis 34 there with righteousness and unrighteousness there. We see that in Proverbs chapter 4. Look at the contrast. You're familiar with it. Chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and then the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's a struggle that always goes on, but there is victory. But if you are led by the Spirit, verse 18, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, and just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice a habitual lifestyle, practice such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, contrast. Love, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We crucify the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We don't fall into the Dinah principle, where we're attracted by the world. We go out there and we walk among it, and then all of a sudden we stand in the midst of it. Then we find ourselves sitting in the midst of it, and that's where we get into trouble in those ways. There's victory, though, because notice what it says here in verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also, what? Walk in the Spirit. What a beautiful thing. One thing we must be aware of at all times is that as Simeon and Levi did, we will definitely reap what we have sown. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. It's a principle, is it not? It's a principle, but like anything else, we reap good seed, we will have a good crop. If we sow good seed, we'll have reap a good crop. If we sow bad seed, guess what kind of crop we're going to have? In fact, Scripture warns us to not even to give an opportunity for the devil to deceive us. And we see in Ephesians 4:12, it says, not give place or foothold for the devil. John the Apostle in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, warned us to be careful of how we walk in this world. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides how long? Forever. Forever. What a contrast. But it's just a choice that we make. We know that. Proverbs over and over and over again encourages to live our lives with integrity. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Integrity is a thing that takes a lifetime to build up and can be destroyed instantaneously. It truly can. Integrity is something that we guard. We're very careful with that. We're very cautious where our feet go, where our eyes go, where we stop and where we live. Proverbs 19:11 says, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says this concerning integrity. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. We want our children to be blessed. Definition of integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, being truthful and trustworthy. Truly, that's it. Go to James chapter 1, please. Back there in the New Testament, James chapter 1. I truly believe that Dinah allowed herself to get too close to the fire. Too close to the fire, and that may be a lesson to us today. I just pray that if there's any of us that are too close to the fire right now, you're playing. Men, any men, please, if you're in things that you shouldn't be in on your computer, throw it away. Get accountable, whatever you need to do in that way. Ladies, you're not free from that either. Any of those things. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm not trying to make people feel bad, but you know, sometimes we have to be challenged in this way. You know, sometimes maybe we're watching, I was going to say too many soap operas, but as far as I'm concerned, one's too many. But, you know, don't get trapped in these love novels and different things like that. Protect your hearts. Read the Word of God in that way. And so we have here something that's very, very important. We can get too close to the fire. Look at verse 12 in James chapter 1. Blessed is the man or the woman who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That's what happened to Dinah. She was drawn away, I believe, by desires she had. Oh, I want to go see the world. How do the women of the world live? What happened to her? She became violated. And it led, and there was consequences to that. I imagine that if you could go back, she probably wouldn't have gone out there that day, because it's a danger that they go in. Each is drawn, tempted, and away by his own desires enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived in that way. Remember the story about, how to defeat, this Dinah principle. Remember what Joseph did? Everybody remember in Genesis chapter 9, Potiphar's wife came after him. He just fled, man. He just got away. I'm not going to be part of this. You know, we need to remember that. Stay away from the world. It's very enticing. Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Maybe just an encouragement today. You guys might not feel like you're getting encouraged, but, an encouragement. Put those safeguards up. Make sure you're in the Word. Make sure you take the time to pray. Make sure, we're in the world, but we're not of the world any longer. Don't cross over those thresholds. It's a dangerous place that we can go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us how we can protect ourselves. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, what does it say? Meditate. Think on these things. That's what we are to do. How are we to be continuously victorious over the Dinah principle? that can so easily take over our lives at times, by walking, I believe, as I close tonight, in the truth of the Scriptures, we can be victorious over evil influences. Psalm 44:5 says, through you, speaking of God, we will push down our enemies. Through your name, we will trample those who rise up against us. Praise the Lord. We are victorious. Over evil spiritual forces, we can be victorious. 2 Corinthians 10:14, I alluded to this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. How do we protect ourselves against the Dinah principle? You know, we get into the Word of God, the principles of God. They're mighty to pulling down strongholds that may be in our lives. How do we be victorious over the Dinah principle, over worldly attractions? 1 John 5:4 says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our what? Our faith in that way. And how can we be victorious over satanic powers? Scripture says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than what? He that is in the world. Isn't that great promises? Truly. We can see that. We learn from it. Just have to have our antennas up, our eyes looking, be aware. Put those safeguards in our lives. Make sure, because the victory is right there for us any given moment. As much as the challenge is there, I have always found that the Holy Spirit is there too, warning and protecting and enabling and empowering to turn the other way, to turn the channel if it's not right, to turn away from something, to watch my attitude. If I cross over a threshold, then it's good to go ask for forgiveness. I found that to be true because it teaches me, you know, to be careful, and it teaches others, it teaches me the right way of doing things. So today, we are conquerors over the Dinah principle. When we understand the truth of Paul's words in Romans chapter 8, verse 37 and 39, Paul said, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him, through Jesus, who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? That's the victory that we have today. So just a simple little story. I pray it'll be a blessing, but just a small little encouragement. Watch out for the Dinah principle. Don't get too close to the world in any way at all. Ed, you want to come up and we'll close in a song here, please. The other guys come up too. Many of you, there's a man that's been part of our fellowship, and he comes in with a cane, John Brown. People know John Brown. He passed away. And so we need to pray for his mom and his dad. We need to pray for his family. And Wyman found him at his house this evening. And so just that whole thing breaks my heart. What a great guy. John would come in my office. I went back to him. He built a little airplane of the ones like I flew in the Navy, you know, and I'm going to treasure that for all of my life. What a great guy. He would come in among us in here. And John was definitely very unique, wasn't he? He really was. He loved to talk about weapons. He loved to talk about end times, really dive into those. And, you know, just a great guy. So just wanted to share that at the end here, that we would pray for him or his family, and as they gather around, and we'll probably put out word when we'll go and celebrate John's life. What a great guy. He suffered from diabetes, and it was really hard. He was here last Wednesday night, and his hands were bleeding from the diabetes and everything. So he's in heaven, isn't he? He's in heaven. He's with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord for that. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promises that you give us into Scripture. Now John is feeling things that he talked about. I'd sit at the dining table there with him on Wednesday evenings, and he would talk about, someday I'm going to see Jesus, Bill. And he wanted to be there so much. He was tired of this world. It was just a hard place for him to be. And through your grace and your mercy, Lord, we can only stand upon the reality that you took him to be with you. But we pray for Kathy and Joe, his parents. Comfort them. We pray for his brother in Ukraine, in that area there, and all of his family members. Comfort them, Lord. I sure will miss John. But just bless us that we will keep our eyes on you. And we'll see you soon, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the